I'd like to call this meeting of House Hess to order. It's about 20 after 3 on Thursday, March 31st, and President or Representatives Tarr, Tallarico, Wool, and myself, Chair Seaton, and excused today is Representative Stutes. And remind everybody about their cell phones. Today we have two bills on our calendar, House Bill 200, Adoption of Child in State Custody, and House Bill 328, Regulation of Smoking. In addition, we have a confirmation hearing for the State Medical Board, which we will take up first, and then we will go to House Bill 200 and then House Bill 328. And on both of those, we will be considering the bills, and my intention is to have a vote to move the bills today if we can get there. So let's go first to our confirmation appointee, and Brooke Cliff, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to House Health. Health and Social Services Committee, and would you please introduce yourself and to the committee and let us know why you would want to serve on the medical board?
Sure. I'm in my third year practicing family medicine in the Mountain View, Susitna Valley. My name is Brooke Clift. This is my first appointment to the state medical board. I'm eager to participate in the licensing process and ensure efficient and ethical medical practices in the state. I have a strong interest in the future of medical education in the state and even development of biomedical industries locally.
Well, great. Does anyone have questions for the doctor? I think Representative Tarr. Yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just a little more about your interest in serving on the board. And, I guess I just, you know, want to hear a little bit more.
Okay. I grew up in the state. I went to UAA and went out of state for medical school. I have strong interest in the future of medical education as it pertains to people trying to enter the medical field in the state. I know that people coming from a rural environment often have a difficult time entering the field at all, without leaving the state. And also was interested in just the procedure, since I've actually recently licensed myself. I finished my family medicine training in 2013 with the Providence Family Medicine residency program. And then I came out to the Madison Valley, and I have a strong interest, of course, in providing medical services to the fluctuating populations of the state.
Thank you.
And we'll take just a brief at ease while we organize the motion here. Back on record, Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we forward the name of Brooke Cliff to a joint session for consideration, and this neither confirms nor denies anyone's ability to vote either way on this appointment. It just makes sure that that name moves forward.
Yeah. Thank you. We have that before us, and seeing no objection, we will forward the name for joint session for consideration, and thank you for joining us today. And now we will go to House Bill 200. If we go to House Bill 200, on Tuesday there was a motion to adopt CS for House Bill 200 version W. I had objected for discussion. I'm going to remove my objection to the adoption of the CS as a working document. Are there further objections to the W version? For seeing none, we have adopted the version. And is there any further committee discussion? Representative Talrico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee substitute for House Bill 200, version 29-GH1262/W from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, House Bill 200, version W, moves from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations, and we'll take just a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. House Bill 328 as the working document, and I'd like to bring that back up today for consideration of amendments and committee discussion. We had had public testimony and closed public testimony. So our first amendment, amendment number one, Representative Wool, that would be as W.9.
Staff have just walked out.
This is number one.
Number, would the committee please look at the amendments and W.9 and label that as amendment number one?
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, can we take a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. We're back on record, and Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer Amendment W-9.
And Amendment number one is?
Amendment number one.
Offered, that's W.9.
Objection.
And we have an objection for discussion, so Representative Wool.
Thank you. This would, as there's other exemptions for different establishments, this would allow any exemptions that AS 1738, which is the marijuana law regulations, if they allowed any sort of consumption on any premises, as the Marijuana Control Board has said they would in certain circumstances, this would allow those to operate without the smoking ban superseding that.
Okay, thank you. Is there discussion on the amendment? And so this is to provide for the exemption that the Marijuana Control Board has allowed for consumption of product in a establishment that is selling the product.
Right.
Is Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because it's relevant to another amendment here in the stack, could we have the legal person just clear up the ambiguity about how freestanding building is defined?
And I believe that we have Hillary Martin online.
Yeah, this is Hillary Martin with Legislative Legal Services.
Great. Glad you could join us. And did you hear the question about a what the definition of a freestanding building? We're using that term, but we're not sure what that is. Do you have a definition for us,
Mr. Chair? The bill itself doesn't define freestanding building. The language just says a freestanding building not attached to another business or to a residence. Without a definition, it would be interpreted to mean just kind of the common meaning of the word, or the department could define it through regulation.
Okay. And I think that one of the things we're trying to figure out is if we have buildings that have walls, each building has a wall, but they are abutting each other, would that be considered a freestanding building where they have separate structural walls and they're not interconnected, but they're abutting each other? Would that be considered a freestanding building?
Mr. Chair, I think that would probably be considered a freestanding building. It's not attached to another building. So even though the walls are next to each other, assuming that they're not structurally tied in or that one depends on the other, I think that it would probably be considered a freestanding building.
So our understanding is as long as they're not dependent upon the other for structural unity, or that they're not common passages between, they would be considered, that would be considered freestanding.
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe so.
Okay, thank you. And if the members have a desire, they can offer an amendment for a definition, but that's what we're getting so far. Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarity, then, just to be sure, there are a lot of buildings in downtown Juneau, for example, that are all connected, but they appear to be their own buildings. They don't require the other building for structural purposes. They don't hold their buildings up, I guess. And so just to be clear, those buildings would be considered freestanding, correct? I think the bulk of what you see downtown.
Representative Foster, through the chair, I believe so. I mean, if they're just right next to each other, even though there's no space between them, as long as they're separate buildings, I believe they would be considered freestanding buildings. If they are somehow attached to each other, then it would not be.
Okay, thank you. Is that further clarification? That's clarification. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So would you characterize any business in a strip mall as, you know, not being able to meet that requirement?
Representative Tarr, through the chair, probably a strip mall would not be a freestanding building, as I understand. A strip mall, it's kind of generally one building with a whole bunch of outside entrance businesses, but they all are in one building. I think that would not be a freestanding building.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on that, I can think of a circumstance where I know a strip mall where the individual units were owned like a individual condo, and even if they, you know, sort of are individually owned like that and had their own, I guess they probably wouldn't have their own sort of ventilation system and things like that, but even if they're, you know, separately owned by that, so in that sense, you know, separate utilities or something, that still probably wouldn't be a freestanding building.
Representative Tarr, through the chair, correct, I believe so. I think the language just says freestanding building not attached to another business or to a residence, and I think ownership wouldn't really change whether it's freestanding building or not.
Thank you.
And I would presume that the entire unit would be a freestanding building, but it would be that the individual units, condos, businesses within there would not be considered a freestanding building for the business, because this is related to a business, and it's talking about the entirety of that business. So if you had a strip mall that was, you know, had 50 buildings in it, and you had, 50 businesses in it, the way the law would be applied is that if a single business was in there, it would not be in a freestanding building, although separate from other residents or businesses. So is there any further questions on that? Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess what I'm hearing is a lot of most likely or probably or I think so. So, you know, freestanding building, you could argue, is one that would freestand if the other one next to it isn't. However, the word attached to me says, like, touching. There's no air gap. All these buildings downtown, there's no air gap. It looks like one continuous building, but we know they're built at different times. They are, in fact, different buildings. So I want freestanding building and not attached you know, the whole not attached part, I guess, is the is the one where we're running into problems, and the person online here is saying words like probably and most likely, but, you know, I don't know that that's definitive.
And Ms. Martin, could you draw us up a definition of freestanding building that incorporates exactly what you've been telling us, that that it's structurally independent and does not have common entrances or internal connections to an abutting building?
Mr. Chair, yeah, we can certainly include a definition of freestanding building if that's the wish of the committee. You know, without a definition, it would ultimately be up to the department to decide through regulation enforcement whether something is a freestanding building not attached. And it's just hard to answer with any certainty because, you know, every building's different. And right now, all we have is this freestanding building not attached to another business or to a residence.
And so what is the wish of the committee? Do we want to get a definition of freestanding building similar to what the lawyers just talked to us?
Sure. Or could we end the sentence that stop it at freestanding building and take off the not attached part? And then whatever definition.
So Representative Will, you're willing for the department to make up the definition of what it means, or do you want a definition statute?
I guess I want a definition, but a freestanding building, I feel like I'm okay with that. The not attached may be in conflict with what a freestanding building is. Assuming their definition of freestanding building is what we've been talking about.
So I think that this is your amendment, Representative Wall.
Correct.
So are you just wanting to take out the word not? Would you like to, instead of not attached, say not connected to? Not internally connected? You want to just take out all of that? What do you wish to do?
Okay. Delete not attached to another building or to a residence. Leave it at an establishment licensed under AS 17.38 that is a freestanding building.
Okay. And is there any, that's a conceptual, you're offering that as conceptual amendment number?
There's an amendment here too.
One?
Yes.
Conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one is to delete on line 7, not attached to another business or to a residence.
Correct.
Is there objection to conceptual amendment number one? Seeing no objection, conceptual amendment number one on line 7, removing not attached to another business or to a residence, is adopted. Okay. We are now back to amendment number one, which puts on line 16 of page 4. Following section, a subsection 3. But I'm not seeing this subsection. Oh, I see. Oh, sorry. Okay. It's a totally different subsection 3 that's in an established license under AS 1738 that is a freestanding building. Is there any objection? Is there... Let's see, who objected? Representative Vasquez. Let's take a brief at ease while we look at the statutes. Hey, we're back on the record. We have before us amendment number one, which is W.9 as amended. Representative Vasquez, do you maintain your objection?
No.
That objection is removed. Is there any further objection to amendment number one, W.9 as amended? Seeing no further objection, amendment number one, that is W.9 as amended, has been adopted. We will now go on to amendment number two, which
is
amendment number two is W.3. Everybody find W.3. And Representative Talrico.
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number two, W.3.
And I'll object for a discussion. Representative Talrico, would you like to move the, you, did you move the amendment?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and I objected. Yeah. And can we have staff come forward?
They can if you want, or I can.
You can do it.
I think we can hit this one really quick, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
What this amendment does is removes the word primarily. So that section beginning on line 19 would read, in an area located at a public or private school or a state or municipal park that is designated as a place for children to play. So in other words, it would need a definite designation as a playground or chase, a place for children to play, and take away the ambiguity of the word primarily.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, I'll remove my objection. Is there any other further objection to amendment number two?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Vasquez, would you object for a discussion?
Yes.
Okay. And so, Representative Vasquez.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of Representative Talarico, and that is, you know, a state or municipal park is often used by different ages, including children. I mean, it's rare to see a state or municipal park that is solely designated for the use of children to play in. So you usually have all ages in a park. So I'm uncomfortable with this amendment for that reason. I mean, you rarely have a real designated children.
Reverend Talrico.
Yeah, this actually generically covers the overall designation of potentially a large area, but it would have a sorted, separate designated area to play for children specifically. It wouldn't just be kind of a wide open space. So that would say that we probably don't have any state parks that are designated wholly as playgrounds. But we very well may have some designated areas in some of those that are specifically children's playgrounds.
Representative Talrico, would you consider a friendly amendment to insert after park on line 20 or portion thereof, so that it would read or municipal park or portion thereof that is designated as a place for children to play? So that we don't get into designating the entirety of a park. I think that the idea was that you may have a large park and you may have a children's playground area, and making sure that it doesn't have to be the entire park that would be designated that way, but that area that is designated as a playground would be exempt.
Mr. Chairman, I would be perfectly satisfied with that amendment.
Representative And just to brief it,
you know,
to order, and just wanted to say that as we were talking about a potential amendment there, it was noted that at the start of that sentence, it says at an area located at those parks, so that the designated area or a portion of a park is already included in that sentence, and it just wasn't readily apparent to me, so I'm not going to offer that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
So we have at an area located at a public park, or that's where we have. So we've got the amendment to remove the word primarily. Representative Vasquez, you have the objection. You maintain your objection to removing the word primarily.
Again, I'm going to state the objection I have. There's very few places that are solely designated for children to play in. And I don't see this as a realistic scenario in everyday life. I it's rare when you have and it's actually, this whole provision is unsettling because at an area located. Well, how do you define area? Is there a definition of area? I mean, the title before this is smoking is prohibited outdoors. So what area are we talking about? An area located at a public or private school or state or municipal park? I mean, we're talking about the whole area surrounding the building or part of the area or, I mean, I don't know.
Representative Talrico, do you want staff to come forward?
Yeah, they can. I think I know what an area is in my mind, but I'm not sure I can say what it is.
I mean, I
define it.
Your choice, Representative.
Yeah. If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, please.
I don't mind. Let's sponsor staff come forward.
And for the record, it's not a personal agenda. I'm not a smoker. Nobody in my family is a smoker. So, but I could see where we would get into an interesting exercise in trying to interpret this provision.
Will you put yourself on the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Joshua Banks, staff to Representative Talrico. And I've been talking amongst the backers of the bill and the sponsor of the Senate bill. And an area located at a public or private school or state or municipal park, that would not include the entire park. That would say like a playground in a park. That would be an area designated as a place for children to play. I can think of a park growing up that was a little league baseball park that most of the area under this bill in that park you'd probably be able to smoke in. In the parking lot area, not in bleachers, obviously, but there was also a playground where little kids could go to play, and so that would be an area I would think would be an area you can't smoke. But other areas in that park, the parking lot, you'd be able to smoke in those areas.
Are there questions?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, so the verbiage, yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think the verbiage of play area for children or playground would be more specific instead of an area located at a public or private school or state or municipal park.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Banks brought up another concept, which is Little League playground. Would a ball field where kids might be playing baseball count as this kind of area where also adults may play baseball or adults may play tag football? Is that an area designated for children, or is a ball field, a soccer field, is that general use?
I'll have the sponsor?
Personal opinion, or I can't give you a legal definition. Personal opinion, a sports field is no place to smoke, so you probably shouldn't do that. But
you shouldn't smoke anyways.
I would say that wherever those are designated where children use them, that they would fall outside of that category.
And just to put another perspective, I would say the Little League field is going to be designated for children.
For children specifically.
If you had a adult field, you know, there's a different fields and everything else, so I think that would be different. But so I'm disagreeing with your staff a little bit as far as the Little League. I don't think that that's an appropriate place, and I don't think that this bill is contemplating smoking on a Little League field. So, but that's a question I guess we can have here. Further questions? Yes, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was an issue that came up previously, and for example, I'm thinking of places in Anchorage like Kincaid Park or Russian Jack Park where there are large tracts of land, many different uses happening at that facility. So there's an area, for example, at Russian Jack Park where people play frisbee golf. There's another area where there's baseball fields. There's another area where there's playgrounds. There's another area where there's an outdoor picnic shelter. There's another area where there's a golf course. There's a greenhouse. But I guess I just don't want people to, not be clear on, like, which areas they could be in and think they're doing the right thing by, like, being in one area instead of another. And I don't know how, you know, strongly this would be enforced, but it could be enforced and then, you know, sort of get themselves in trouble because, a large facility like that could, I guess, have both designations and just would want to feel like, that those areas could be clearly defined so people, you know, wouldn't unknowingly do something that was illegal. You know, they would see that this is an area where smoking is prohibited, and then if they choose to ignore it, then they, you know, have made the choice to violate the law. But otherwise, you know, not just inadvertently think they're in an area that it would seem like they could smoke and then not smoke.
Personally, I kind of know what a playground is, but I don't know whether we want to further define or challenge this or... Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, along that same line, there's complexes of, say, softball fields where adults play softball, and maybe on the next afternoon, kids play softball there. And these are probably gray areas where a playground, you know, with a slide and a swing set is pretty defined, and that's generally reserved for children where you don't see a lot of adults going up and down slides unless, of course, they're with their kids. But...
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so I appreciate the amendment under consideration, and I think that's a good step. And I think for me, just maybe some of this will come in regulation from the department, and by getting it on the record, we can give some illustration of where we see potential challenges and things that, we hope that they can more clearly define so that, you know, when the new signs are posted and things like that, that, then people wouldn't have any confusion about, you know, whether they're in a legal place for smoking or not.
And Mr. Chair?
Go ahead and identify yourself again.
For the record, Joshua Banks. I believe Mr. Kopp might have additional comments that might clarify some of the discussion, if the chair would wish them to have.
Reverend Talrico, would you like
Mr. Kopp
helping staff?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Kopp, staff to Senator Michicki, the Senate companion bill to this. So this question did come up in the other body. It's a good one. And Representative Tarr, I think your amendment is good because discretion is really built into this bill and that it requires notice. You have to notice that it is designated as a children's play area. So if it's not noticed, there won't be enforcement because it's otherwise not prohibited unless it is noticed. Now, It is the same language as the Anchorage Municipal Ordinance. Mm-hmm. But you bring up a good point that you want the regulators to have reason when they mm-hmm. write out regulation, and it's been noted. But it does have to be, designated no smoking area. So it has to be properly noticed.
Mm-hmm. Are there further questions in committee? Representative Vasquez.
Yeah, so maybe before designated, maybe the words clearly posted and designated as a place for children to play. I mean, I'm just saying, you're explaining what you mean, but it's not really clear from reading as written.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, so the Ms. Martin, I know from legal, is standing by, but if a place is designated and it's to be enforced, you have to have notice. And later on in the bill is where you get into the notice requirements, 1835-306, where it's requiring that signs to enforce the section be posted. And so you really can't enforce something unless people know. And, of course, this whole section is under where smoking is prohibited outdoors. And so it's otherwise allowed outdoors unless it's in an area that is designated as a place where children play.
Reverend Vasquez.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. What do you mean by designated?
That means it's specially set apart.
Okay.
That's what a designation means. It's specially set apart for a purpose.
And posted.
Right.
Representative Vasquez, everyone please look at page 4, starting on line 17, notice of prohibition. So a person who is in charge of the place shall conspicuously display in a place or vehicle sign that smoking prohibited by law, $50 includes international, and includes no puffing or horn, those. So the question is that adequate, Representative Vasquez?
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, that does not answer my inquiry. Page 4, line 17, simply sets forth the type of signs where smoking is prohibited, okay? Going back to page 2, we're talking about an area that's designated as a place for children to play. There's no statement here about signs, no smoking signs.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, so if you look at line 15 on page 4.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. I'll make sure I'm at the right bill number. Thank you, Joshua. I'm sorry. It's line 17 on page 4. Mm-hmm. So at that place, it says a person who is in charge of a place. Okay? So if you're in charge of a place where smoking is prohibited, you will conspicuously display in the place a sign that reads, and so there's your smoking prohibited signs. So the place that is specifically prohibited, as Representative Tarr has pointed out in the amended language, is a park that is designated as a place for children to play. That is a place that is specifically prohibited, and it must be noticed by the person in charge.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to understand one last piece about this. The maximum fine for not complying with that, should this law pass, would be $50?
Through the chair, yes.
Okay. There further, do you maintain your objection, Representative Vasquez?
Not really, but I just think this section could have been written more clearly, because it's basically bootstrapping another section. Just because you designate an area for children to play doesn't automatically equal no prohibition of smoking. So, and it's very unsettling. What do you mean by area located at a public or private school or state or municipal
I still maintain that that's really confusing. You can have multi-use of a park or area.
So the objection is maintained. We will, would the secretary call a roll on amendment number two, which is W.3.
Representative Wolf.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Vasquez.
Yes.
Representative Stutes. Representative Tallarico.
Yes.
Chair Seaton.
Yes. So amendment number two, that's W.3, has been adopted. Representative Vasquez, did you?
Yes. For the record, I was not objecting to this particular amendment to delete primarily before designated. What I was objecting to is kind of the vagueness of this provision in lines 19 through 20, page 2. I think it would be a great exercise in interpretation.
Thank you. Representative Tallarico, we are looking at amendment number three, which is W.4.
Would move amendment number three, Mr. Chairman, W.4.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we have them up here, can I refer to staff?
You can refer to staff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Josh Fairbanks, staff to Representative Tallarico. And amendment W.4, amendment number three, would delete the word marine in three different locations in the bill, page 2, line 16, which relates to smoking being prohibited on certain vessels, page 2, line 31, relating to how far a person has to be away from a vessel in order to smoke, and page 4, line 5, relating to smoking being allowed on certain vessels. In the last meeting that we had on this bill, there's comments made about the bill specifically stating marine vessel, and this bill would, because of the word marine being in there, there's concerns that that would exclude freshwater vessels, a sport fish charter boat on the Kenai, for example. We didn't want that to be excluded from the bill, and so we felt like just by taking the word marine out, you would just say vessels, and that would allow for a vessel, whether it's in the sea, river, lake, to be included in this bill.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion? I'm going to remove my objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number three, that's W.4, has been adopted. We now have amendment number four before us, which is W.5. Representative Tallarico.
Move amendment number four, version W.5.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Tallarico.
May I refer staff again?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For the record, Joshua Banks again, staff to Representative Tallarico. And this definition, this amendment would change the definition of what an e-cigarette is under this bill. There has been information made to us that there are vaping products that don't necessarily look like a cigarette or cigar or pipe. I've seen pictures of a vaping product that looks like a can of Coca-Cola, a R2-D2 Star Wars droid. And so we wanted to make sure that all vaping products, whether no matter what it looks like, would be included in what an e-cigarette was. And I know, Mr. Chair, that there's been potential for conceptual amendments to the amendment that would fix concerns that including products that wouldn't be considered vaping products. So I can just
Representative Tallarico.
Mr. Chairman, can I offer a conceptual amendment to the amendment?
Yes, you may.
Okay. On thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 5 of the amendment, After the word product, comma, I would add of any size or shape, comma. And I think I should split this up, Mr. Chairman, so that would be the first conceptual amendment.
We have conceptual amendment number one to amendment number four, adding the words of any size or shape after the word product on line five. Is there objection? Seeing no objection, amendment number one has been adopted. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move another conceptual amendment on line seven after descriptor. This would say e-cigarette does not include drugs, devices, or combination products authorized for sale by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, as those terms are defined in the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, unless the use of those products simulates smoking or expose others to vapor or aerosol.
I will object for discussion. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr.
And the members have this in writing before them, so just to make sure that everybody understands, it's not having to just hear the words, but it's before you as well. So, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to understand a little bit more where this second part is coming from and trying to figure out what products there are that are authorized for sale by the U.S. FDA. I just want to understand what this sentence is sort of trying to accomplish here. If you could describe that in a little greater detail, that'd be helpful.
Mr. Banks, please.
Mr. Banks?
The Chair, Representative Tarr, for the record, Joshua Banks. The purpose of the second conceptual amendment, there was concern brought that the W.5, as it originally stood, might unintentionally include inhalers. And that was by no means our intention with bringing forward this amendment. And after conferring with the backers of the bill and the Senate sponsor, we felt like this second sentence would ensure that products like an inhaler wouldn't be inadvertently included.
Okay.
Okay, Representative Tarr.
And just a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't know for sure whether any of the products that people use for smoking cessation are prescribed by a doctor, or if I know there are, I believe there are ones that are by prescription and then others that are over the counter. And it may be that then they would be regulated in a different way. But for example, could you consider one of those nicotine patches? Could that somehow be considered something that simulates smoking? Or some other, I mean, there's no other product that, certainly you wouldn't think of it as an e-cigarette, but if it was, you know, a product authorized for sale that was simulating smoking, I guess I was just trying to, you know, think if there's any other product that falls in that category that I'm not aware of.
Through the Chair, Representative Tarr, I don't believe that would be the case, because even though there is the I'm not too familiar with smoking patches, but I from what I understand, it does have nicotine in it, and so it would I don't believe it would simulate smoking, and it certainly wouldn't expose others to vapor aerosol, so I don't believe that would be included in this.
Are there any other discussion? Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The definition in the original bill talks about, where is it?
Page 8.
Exhaling, burning, or lighter. Basically, it talks about exhaling and the effects of sort of secondhand breathing, and that's probably why this whole thing came about. This one talks about inhalation. And maybe that's why inhalers are brought up, because if someone inhales from an inhaler, the risk isn't the exhalant,
But in other words, the public safety issue is more about what they're blowing out than what they're breathing in, I would think. So this doesn't really include any kind of simulated burning or otherwise. This just talks about inhalation, which
and
I guess that differs from conventional, what you call smoking or of any kind of smoking device. The problem is what you're breathing out. I don't know.
And I believe that the vaping is generally regarded as an inhalation. There's also a product that is out, but this is the definition of an e-cigarette to describe what the mechanism is of starting that process. Yeah. So, further discussion? I'm going to remove my objection. Any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number 4 has been adopted. And now we're going to take a break. Just put this bill aside for a moment and do a, we have two more confirmations.
Mr. Chairman.
And we did adopt the conceptual amendments to amendment number 4. That was conceptual amendment number, or maybe I should go back.
These are two concepts.
I removed my objection to amendment number 2, conceptual amendment number 2, to amendment number 4. We had already adopted conceptual amendment number 1, and so now we had amendment number 4 before us, which is W.5, and I'll remove my objection to amendment number 4. Is there any further objection to amendment number 4 as amended? Seeing no objection, amendment number 4 as amended is adopted by the committee. Now we're going to take a break here and go to...
Mr. Chairman, can we take a brief at ease?
Is that on the confirmations?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll take a brief at ease. In the room, would you like to come forward and put yourself on the record? And welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you could join us today. Would you put your name on the record and what you are, what position you're going for, and then introduce yourself to the committee?
Right. So I'm Joy Neihart. I'm a pediatrician that's been practicing here in Juneau for the past 16 years, and I've apparently been appointed by the governor to serve on the state medical board for a term.
Great. And
sum it up.
Do people have questions for the doctor? We've seen your documentation, and Representative Tarr, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize because I'm a little bit underprepared today, but if you want to give a little information on your interest in serving on this board, that's kind of my standard request.
Right, and I actually just did this by phone for the Commerce Committee, Senate Commerce or something like that. They forgot about me, so anyway. So my interest is that representing Southeast Alaska and Children of Alaska. The other interest I have is being part of moving forward with telemedicine in Alaska and making sure it's done safely and appropriately, because we know it will help save a lot of money for the state.
Thank you.
Great. Further questions? Seeing none. Representative Chalrico.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee forward Dr. Joy Neihart's name for the medical board to the joint session for consideration, and with the understanding that this neither endorses nor opposes Dr. Nehart as we sign this document, but we are going to move her name forward to the joint session.
Thank you, and we will do that, and thank you for joining us today, and sorry for the delay in considerations here working on bills.
You are welcome. Glad to be here.
Thank you again. And now let's go to the phone. Dr. Rodner, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Would you go ahead and put yourself on the record and where you are and the board you're seeking is the State Medical Board, I believe, and tell us a little bit of why you'd like to serve on the medical board.
Yes, I will. Thank you. My name is Grant Roederer. I'm a physician currently practicing in Anchorage. I have a practice in interventional pain management. I've practiced in Alaska since 2000. I was appointed by the governor, previous governor, and confirmed for the Alaska State Medical Board in 2014. And then I was reappointed by Governor Walker, and I am seeking reconfirmation for an additional term on the medical board. My reasons for serving on the board are to serve the citizens of Alaska, to help carry out the regulations, carry out adopt regulations, carry out the laws governing medical practice, to assist in licensing qualified physicians, and also to discipline physicians that have violated the licensing laws.
Well, thank you. Are there questions for Dr. Roederer? I guess I have one, because we are trying to give you another duty, and that is to be able to enforce licenses, people that are over-prescribing opioids. And I was wondering, sounds like you're a pain medication specialist, and the prescription drug database and the doctors having to check that database before prescribing if they're prescribed and limiting initial prescription to 7 days unless noted, and I'd like to know what your position is on that and whether you could see yourself looking at consequences for physicians that fail to utilize the database and limit prescription opioid use.
Yes. As you know, the prescription database has been around for quite some time, since 2008, I believe. I use it. I think it's a very good tool for physicians and other medical personnel prescribing controlled substances. I think its main purpose is in controlling what we call doctor shopping or multi-sourcing medications. If we can see that a patient has been prescribed similar medication, then we can help with this. The problem comes in with requiring physicians to monitor their database and how that goes about. I think there's also a concern in disciplining physicians who either don't use the database or disregard the database. I think that there's a lot of variations, a lot of parts to this. So I don't have a specific comment regarding disciplining physicians or the degree to disciplining physicians for not using the database. However, However, I feel that it is one tool to help manage this problem, and I call it a problem because I think everybody would agree that that we do have a problem in the United States. We are less than 5% of the world's population, and we consume 80% of the world's supply of opioid medications, and we also consume 2/3 of the illegal drugs in the world. So by any standard, that's a problem. So reducing the amount of medications prescribed, we know that that helps reduce hospitalizations and reduces deaths. So any effort to assist in that, I think, will be helpful.
Well, thank you, Doctor, and I know that it wasn't required to be registered before for prescribers, but if the bill that we have passes and that requirement would be there and required to check the database by the physician or the prescriber or their designee before doing that. So hopefully people will become more sufficient at that, and glad you understand and would be willing to enforce that in the appropriate manner. Are there further questions for Dr. Roger? Seeing none, thank you very much. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we forward the name of Dr. Grant Roederer to a joint session for consideration on the State Medical Board.
Thank you for that, and we will forward your name to the joint session for consideration. And thank you for joining us today. And now let's go to Camille Carlson. Are you online?
I hope so.
Yes, you are. And so anyway, okay. You're here for the State Medical Board, as we have it on our list. Anyway, would you go ahead and put your name on the record, and then go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your desire to serve on the medical board?
Yes, this is Camille Carlson from Fairbanks. I have just completed serving a 4-year term on the State Medical Board. I did not choose to do that. I had really requested something in judicial, but not getting that, I agreed to serve on the medical board. I found it very interesting, and now that I'm fully trained there, I feel I deserve it to the state to do another term. We have at least 3 members going off, and it's a big turnover on a board like that is not good. So I'm perfectly willing to serve another term. I think that it's very important that there be public members on that board.
Well, very good. And you just heard our conversation with Dr. Roederer about pain medications, and so we may be sending a little more of a job your way. Really appreciate your service. Are there any questions for Camille Carlson? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I understand that you are the public member, but it looks like, you know, from your background, not much in the way of health. And you were saying that you actually wanted to be, you know, on a board that was a much different in nature. And there's a lot of, you know, things coming down the pike, different policy initiatives. And I'm just wondering if you feel pretty well prepared to take on those issues.
Actually, I feel extremely well prepared. My major in college was physical education, which is not just basket weaving. There was anatomy, physiology of exercise, kinesiology, and physics. I served 2 terms on the board of psychologists and psychological associates, and my minor in college was health. So actually, I have quite a bit of experience in that area, even though I did have paralegal training.
Well, thank you very much. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you ever work, I'm trying to look through your work history here, in anything related to physical education?
No. I got married even before I graduated college, and was a full-time housewife and raised our 3 kids.
Thank you. Thanks.
In raising three kids, I'm sure you had a lot of health issues to resolve.
And dealt with 30 kids in 4-H for 10 years, and you name it.
So thank you very much for being willing to serve on the board. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we forward the name of Camille Carlson to a joint session for consideration on the State Medical Board.
And thank you. And seeing no objection, we will forward your name to the joint session for consideration. And as with all nominees, forwarding the name does not indicate how any member will vote in favor or opposed to a nominee, but we have reviewed your qualifications and will forward the name. So thank you very much for joining us today, and that is our final confirmation, and we'll send around the paperwork for those names. And let's go back to House Bill. Thank you again, House Bill 328, and we are now on to amendment number 5, which is W.6, and that's an amendment from me, and so I would move amendment number 5.
I'll object, Mr. Chair, for discussion.
And so what we're looking at here is legislative intent language, and we want to be sure that there's nothing in this act of allowing smoking in certain indoor locations or in certain other locations that gives any immunity of liability to a manufacturer, dispenser, or other person from any cause of action related to smoking or e-cigarettes or other oil smoking devices and their use in an enclosed area, or that otherwise limit the liability, and so from e-cigarettes as well, and smoking have the meaning in the bill. And everything else on those three pages is renumbering sections. So is there any discussion or comments on amendment number 5? Representative Tallarico?
I'll remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tallarico removed his objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number 5 is adopted. And then we have amendment number 6, which is... Sure, we get the right one here. Number 6 is W.8, and this is from Representative Tallarico. What? Tar? Representative Tar?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and let me just get myself organized here. Here we go.
Okay, we'll take a brief at ease.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Six, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move amendment number 6.
And I'll object for discussion. And amendment number 6 is W.8. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier we had quite a bit of conversation about the issue of the free standing building not attached to other buildings, and was just concerned... and maybe Hillary from Ledge Legal can just add to this a little bit. My first concern was whether this would be considered takings, because I was trying to understand the impact these provisions would have on existing businesses. And, for example, in a different circumstance, we were trying to make some changes to the buffer zone around schools and where alcohol could be sold. In that circumstance, it would have meant that, you know, an existing business would no longer be legal. In that case, the businesses would have been grandfathered in. But my understanding in this case is that, you know, it's not an exact comparison, but that It's a little bit different in that the businesses themselves, you know, won't become illegal, but they'll have to modify the activities that are allowed in that business. So most of the vape shops right now probably allow smoking in them or trying consuming the products. And I know in my own area, some of those are located in strip malls, and I was just concerned about whether, you know, this law would make it so that those businesses were no longer able to stay open. And I just am not knowledgeable enough. I'm not a smoker or a vapor, and I don't frequent those businesses, so I'm not, you know, knowledgeable enough to know sort of what impact those provisions will have on those businesses. And so I was trying to sort of strike some middle ground and did some calling around. And, you know, in one circumstance, the businesses nearby said they didn't have any issues. In another circumstance, businesses nearby indicated that, you know, they feel impacted by the sort of the smell that's coming, I think primarily probably because of the flavors, potentially more than anything else. Like I say, was just trying to find a way with these particular businesses, and this is where Hillary, if she could add in, because I don't think that the existing businesses would be grandfathered in. They would be subject to the new provisions once, you know, the bill had been passed and became law. And so, you know, just a sort of a circumstance that may be more just in my area, but in some ways, you know, not having empty storefronts that invite vandalism or individuals to hang out front, that these are problems that I deal with in the neighborhoods that I represent. And so, you know, we generally are happy to see businesses in a location because they probably have security cameras, they probably have people coming and going, and that cuts down a lot on the vandalism or public inebriates hanging out nearby. And, you know, in one of the neighborhoods I represent, those are just real significant issues that we struggle with greatly. And so just, you know, trying to find out if there's a way that that we don't have a dramatic impact on their businesses. So that's the thinking here, and I'm not sure if this has struck the right balance, and now we have sort of in conflict from a previous amendment. So I'm sort of thinking here what to do, but I want to get this on the record because, for example, when Ms. Martin and I spoke and talked about the issue of the takings, because this doesn't close down the business, it's not considered in the same way, but what I don't have a good understanding of is if a business considers itself both a retail outlet and a lounge, for example, where someone can consume the product, if that part of the business can no longer exist because you can't consume the product on premises, you know, does that person have the ability to say, well, you effectively closed my business down because you changed it so significantly that I could no longer stay open? I don't have an answer to that question. And that's what led me to wanting to better define this. And we do have a lot of strip malls. That may be an Anchorage problem more than elsewhere, but we do have a lot of strip malls, which is why I had the earlier question about this.
Okay, thank you. And can Ms. Martin, are you still online?
Yes, Hillary Martin with Legislative Legal Services.
Did you follow that, or do you want those questions broken up?
Mr. Chair, I think I followed it fairly well. I think in general, the bill would, in fact, anywhere where smoking is currently permitted, it would, like inside, say, a tobacco store or a cigar store, if they permit smoking now, if they're not in a freestanding building, when the bill becomes effective, they would not be allowed to smoke there. In general, though, the bill doesn't actually shut the business down. If you're selling, say, cigars and you just can't smoke there anymore. And that's only if you're not in a freestanding building. If you are in a freestanding building, you can still allow smoking there. The issue of whether you're effectively shutting the business down is a much more complicated one. I unfortunately haven't had a lot of time to look into that at all. So unfortunately, I don't have a great answer for that question.
Representative Foster.
Yes, not to address that, but just a separate question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first reaction when I saw this was a ventilation system would be something like something effective, like if you've got like a restaurant and they've got those powerful ventilation fans that can suck a lot of smoke out. But the way I see this, if a building just has a regular HVAC system that just, you know, change circulates the air 2 or 3 times an hour, to me that just doesn't, maybe it's effective, maybe it's not. I'm not an engineer, but I guess I guess under this, though, that would be considered a ventilation system, and so I wonder about whether or not, you know, it would be needed to be more clearly defined.
Thank you. And, you know, I was of the, after previous testimony, I was hearing a number of things until we got some of the pictures of what vape shops were looking like. And I'm not sure what kind of ventilation system could do much for that without removal of the roof. So I guess that's a question that I had, as well as the thing is that this amendment, as I see it, refers both to smoking, cigarettes, and vaping. And so I think there was some kind of distinction trying to be made between vaping and vapors and smoking. And if you had a common entrance or a strip mall where there were potentials of contamination going from one place to another, I think the smoking itself is, which would be allowed in here, is problematic, I think. I think we've got enough information on secondhand smoke that we're that's a problem. So, Representative Talrico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do appreciate Representative Tarr's concern, in particularly from the business aspect of that. But, of course, as Representative Foster stated, if we're trying to make sure that we protect people in the work environment from secondhand smoke, and I'm just not sure that the ventilation system, and particularly recycling ventilation system, that will accomplish that protection at all in a building that has shared occupancy with a lot of people, if we begin to allow that within the building in those areas. So it's I've been told, I had a call, somebody said, boy, they had this incredible ventilation system that cleaned it all out and took it all out of there no matter what. It's certainly not been my experience being near those places for that to happen, and even particularly even in some of those great locations where the restaurant, they're sucking everything out of there, but you sure know you stepped into the restaurant when you got in there. So I do appreciate the amendment, but I at this particular juncture I couldn't support it because of those questions.
Further discussion on amendment number 6. Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, we have this photo here. I don't know where it's from or what. Obviously, it's supposed to look like a very smoky or vaped out room. I'm not sure if this is in Alaska or what it is. There's no source or anything like that. And I don't know who has been to a vaping room that's like this. So I don't know that what kind of evidence we're basing a vape shop in a mall to be comparable to that. So I don't know. This obviously makes it look like it's a horrible secondhand smoke environment. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but and I don't know what experience you mentioned being at one. I don't know where or what it was like. So I don't know what we're basing our decision on here.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also sit on the Judiciary Committee, and in my discussions with, I guess, various parties that are interested in this issue, from what I understand, there's some talk about trying to continue to work on this issue to you know, make it as much of a win-win situation as possible with all the various parties. And I don't know what those are, but, you know, I'm certainly trying to keep an open mind. And like I say, I sit on Judiciary, and so I'm going to have an opportunity to look at this again. So I just wanted to say at this point I probably couldn't support it, but open to it down the road, though. So
thank you. And you know, I think the idea of grandfathering or of a takings or something is probably better addressed by Judiciary Committee, because we just don't have the, you know, that's not our framework here. And so, anyway, I'll maintain my objection. Or Representative Tarr, do you want to maintain the...
Can I do wrap-up?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this one, I think, is a little bit beyond our purview because of, you know, sort of looking at it not from the health aspects. So that's something, you know, that we generally are more focused on in this regard. And so, you know, I clearly have concerns about people's health as it relates to smoking whatever different device or vapor or whatever they're smoking. But I do think it's an issue worth considering so we don't have any unintended consequences and legal challenges going forward. So I wanted to bring it up today, and it does have relevance in my district, like I say, because of these strip mall locations and what would happen. And even though it's, I will say, to me, not the most desirable of businesses to have in your area, sometimes it is true that I've learned that, you know, having something there is better than sometimes an empty storefront that invites other unwanted behaviors. So I guess it's just which unwanted behavior you object to more strongly. But at this time, I wanted to get those issues on the record and let, you know, I've talked to the advocates and let them know this was an issue I was kind of struggling with. And I have talked to the chair of the Judiciary Committee about these issues, and I expect them to be considered in that committee. So I'll go ahead and withdraw this amendment now.
Okay, we have amendment number 6, FW.9, has been withdrawn. Are there any further amendments that come before the committee? Seeing none, we have got the working draft W before the committee. We've adopted amendments. And is there further discussion on the bill? Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was an issue that was brought up one or two meetings ago, and it has to do with line 27 on page 2, the 20 foot from an entrance. And there's a 10-foot entrance, 10-foot distance from a bar or restaurant that serves alcohol, but 20 feet from any other kind of establishment. An enclosed area or place. So, and I brought up the situation if you're walking down the street in a sort of downtown area. I used Juneau as an example, and if there's a 20-foot distance from each door, from a door in each direction, would this make the whole sidewalk, the length of the sidewalk, a non-smoking area? Or would the person have to walk in the middle of the road if they were to be smoking outside? And I can't remember what was stated.
What your staff to address that, or you might address it?
They can address it. I think they have some information.
Yes, sir. Representative Tallarico, sponsor of the bill, would like his staff to come forward. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Joshua Banks for the record. I believe Mr. Cobb might have some more input on the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Cobb, staff to Senator Machicki. Again, this language is the same as the Anchorage smoke-free ordinance. There is a judgment call that Mr. Wohl brings up. You might have to walk to the other side of the street. The point is, take it outside, right? You're smoking outside.
Right.
And you're correct, Mr. Wohl, that you could have businesses that are close because there's judgment in any enforcement action. If we would hope, because this is only a complaint driven, we don't have proactive patrols out there, that if someone's outside smoking, they're trying to comply.
Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Wohl, does that answer your...
Yes, I guess I just wanted to be on the record that if it's 20 feet in either direction from a business and you have a string of them that are within, say,
40 feet,
you could make someone go outside. They might have to go a few blocks or something, but or stand in the middle
street.
Of the road, I wouldn't think we'd want.
And I hope that the Judiciary Committee would look at this issue as they go along, because it's on that 20-foot, it's also from a window. So window or heating air or ventilation intakes. So that might, of course, that's at a place where smoking is prohibited, but that's going to be any work.
Right.
Any working place. The only places that wouldn't be exempt would be those that are selling cigarettes as a retail store, I believe, was. I can't remember where the exemptions that we were talking about for it not prohibited.
Through the chair, I can help you with that. Chuck Cobb, staff, Senator Machicki. The distance notification isn't required if your property is otherwise declared by the owner to be a smoke-free campus. So if you posted that your area is smoke-free, then obviously the distance notifications don't apply. Businesses along streets, the bars are only 10 feet, of course, and then other workplaces are more significant, 20.
Okay, thank you. Is there further discussion on House Bill 328? Representative Vasquez.
Yes, I was wondering if anybody has scientific information, evidence of the ill effects of e-cigarettes. I haven't seen anything, any studies or any evidence.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, in the committee packet, the Alaska Division of Epidemiology under Department of Health and Social Services was a report. I believe Dr. J. Butler, or it might have been Dr. Ward Hurlburt, what might have been the chief medical officer for the state, did issue a report on the harms of e-cigarette use in Alaska, and particularly how those are impacting youth, and also how that is, we're seeing a resurgence in nicotine addiction due to a coincident resurgence of e-cigarette use. It's a delivery device for smoking anything, not just tobacco. But as far as the reports on e-cig, there were, about 8 or 10 attachments that the committee received from different groups that looked into the effects of e-cig. It is still developing. FDA has not issued final regulation. But we do know the most important point with that is that as advertising for e-cig use has increased, so has the explosive rise in youth smoking increased, whereas we had seen a previous decline.
Further questions? Representative Vasquez.
So is the increase in e-cigarette smoking or in regular smoking? Nicotines smoking.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, the increase is in e-cig use and use of nicotine in those delivery devices.
Are there further questions? Seeing no further questions, we have committee discussion. Is there any further discussion? Would you like to, do you want to move, or do you want someone else to?
Someone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the
Representative Talrico.
Thank you. I move the committee substitute for House Bill number 328, version 29-LS1502 /W from committee as amended with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there an objection?
Yes.
We have an objection. You want to speak to your objection, yes. Representative Vasquez?
While I am not, for the record, I am not a smoker. No one in my extended family is a smoker, or for that matter, immediate family. Initially, I liked this bill, but the more I looked into it, the more far-reaching and overreaching I found it to be. And I do not have a problem in not allowing smoking in enclosed spaces, in hospitals, schools, etc., okay? But I do object to this prohibition of outside smoking, outdoors, outside areas. It seems to me that's a real murky area, 20 feet away from places seems to be a bit much. This seems to be very far-reaching and overreaching, and frankly, there's not enough, I'm not convinced there's not enough scientific evidence to support including e-cigarettes at this time. It could be that there will be enough scientific evidence down the road, and that would change my opinion. But right now, I don't think there is. You just cited one article by Dr. Butler, whereas with regard to nicotine, smoking, there are a lot of studies and a lot of evidence to support that, the ill effects of nicotine smoking. So I will have to be a no vote on this bill.
Further committee discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Talrico.
Yes.
Representative Wold.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
Pass.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Vasquez.
No.
Representative Stutes.
Sure.
Representative Tarr.
Yes.
Chair Seaton.
Yes. So with the
5 yeas, 1 nay.
So with a vote of 5 yeas to 1 nay, CS for House Bill 328 has, and let me get the version number there, version 29LS1505W. Moved from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. See nothing further to come before the committee. Does anyone have anything else to bring up? Seeing none, we will be adjourned at 5:05, and thank you for your participation.